Exodus 15, verse 26, it says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that's when God really revealed himself as healer. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that heals you. Anybody sick? Anybody sick among you? What's it say in James? Let him call the elders of the church. Anointing with oil. And everybody gets stuck on the word elder in that verse. And it's really not the elder that heals you. Elders don't heal people. God's the healer, right? He's the God. He said, I'm the God that heals you. So the elders do not heal people. Let's look at St. James. Let's go to that verse. It says, James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Those are instructions. But the verse 15 is the prayer of faith. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any, if he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. When a person is really sick, and a person is really, really, really desperately ill, the only thing that matters to them is their healing. If someone is going to die, and they've been told they have limited time on this earth, then healing becomes a very big, big, big deal. Now, if you just get a cold, or you're dealing with sinus, or you're dealing with a toothache, or you're dealing with a headache, or you're dealing with any kind of issue like that, we kind of just stay passive about healing. We don't get real serious about digging into the Word of God and getting a revelation about healing. You know, because we've got other things we can run to. We can go to the medicine cabinet and fill out an Advil, or we can go run to a doctor and get a Band-Aid or a stitch, or we can do a lot of things. But there was a time when medical science was limited. Before the medical drugs of antibiotics came along, or all these other things come along, there was limitations of what was available to promote healing in the body. When there is a need for something in a person's life, that is, there's no other answer for it, and the need is immediate, then people get serious about finding out the answer. I don't care what it is. It's like, how big is the need, and how big is the desire to find the answer? It's like if you're starving and you have no food, and your stomach is craving food, if there's something that's going off in you, and it's saying, you got to get some food in that stomach, right? And so there's a need, but there's also something that's prompting you to take care of that need. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that without really, really wanting your healing, you're not going to go after it the way God would have you to go after it. And I really sense the Holy Spirit leading in something this morning. I'm trying to hear God and listen to God and just be led by the Spirit this morning as I minister. Because, you know, I don't know if you all understand this, and maybe I shouldn't even share this, but when you step into a pulpit, and you step into an anointing like this, into a place like this, there are all kinds of things going on in people and in atmospheres around you. I don't know if you know that or not. And the Lord knows exactly what everybody needs to hear. And the Holy Spirit, because there's many spirits going out into the world, okay? There's many spirits out here. There's spirits, and there's all kinds of things that go on in activity in the spirit realm. There's just all kinds of activity in the spirit realm. And there's activity in the natural realm. Has anybody ever been up at 2:00 in the morning and got up to read your Bible, drink your coffee, and just be sitting there in a nice, quiet atmosphere reading your Bible? And then all of a sudden, around maybe 4:00 or 5:00, something changes in the atmosphere of the room. Anybody experienced that? Anybody experienced hearing like a humming? Maybe I'm just super sensitive to these things, but I can tell you when there starts to be activity in the air. There's activity going on in the air. I'm telling you, there's activity going on all the time around you. Whether you're aware of it or not isn't relevant. It's the fact. Like, for example, right now in the natural, we're talking in the natural world, right now coming through these walls are all kinds of radio waves for radio stations being transmitted. Right now through the airwaves, there's television waves. There's CB waves. There's just all kinds of things going on in the airways around us. It's really better to study the Word of God early in the morning when there's not a lot of factories working, a lot of machineries being run, a lot of transmissions are going forth. A lot of people aren't tuning into their TVs and drawing on those transmissions. It's really a good time to really get along with God is early in the morning. Because I can be sitting there studying and reading my coffee or drinking my tea, and I can all of a sudden hear the activity, action going on. Things start revving up in the spirit realm. And not only in the spirit realm, but around, it's in the natural realm. Okay? So, going back to what this James says here, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And most people just stop right there. And they want to get the elder to come. They want the elder to come to their bedside. They want the elder to pray because it's the elder that's going to do the work, right? That's what they see. That's what they hear. Maybe what they've been taught. But the elder is just a vehicle. And the elder is called an elder because the elder should have grown enough and matured enough in the things of God to be able to believe for that person's deliverance. That's what the elder's all about. If somebody who's not just old or not somebody who's been on the way a long time for 30 years or 40 years serving God, but it could be somebody who's mature enough to believe and to pray the prayer of faith. Because the Bible says clearly, the next verse, James says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. Now let's mark this down. Number one, if you're sick and you need a healing, it's going to take the prayer of faith to get you healed. It's not going to be just somebody looking good, talking good, acting good, been a Christian years and years, that's going to get the job done. When you're sick, you want to get healed. When you're absolutely desperately ill, you just got to get healed. And I tell you, I believe with all my heart that it's the determination of the heart that makes the difference in a healing. It's how determined are you to get healed? How determined are you to get healed by God? See, there's ways to get healed. There's many avenues for healing. There's many, many ways to get a healing. Let's think of it this way. If I had a chalkboard up here, I would say, okay, here's the sick person. Let's make the sick person right here. The sick person's right here, and the healing is way over here somewhere. Here's the healing point. Here's the point they're going to get to that they're completely free of all sickness and disease. No, nothing missing, nothing lacking. There's nothing. Once they get to this place right here, it's over. They're healed. They're delivered. They're set free. They're completely healed. Nothing's going to hold them back. There's just going to be absolutely no sickness anymore. Does this say partially healed? Does this say maybe healed? It says they shall, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Period. There's not like, well, maybe halfway saved. Maybe, are you just halfway saved if you're saved? Are you just halfway healed when you're healed? To be healed means to be healed. Completely eradicated from all the problem. Problem over. Problem solved. No more sickness. But the problem that most folks have is they may even believe that God is able to heal them. But they see the healing. They know it's out there somewhere. But how do they get there? How do you get this done? How do you get this accomplished? It can't get any clearer than the nose on your face right here, okay? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. But you know, it's not just the prayer of the preacher that gets you healed. It's your faith that can get you healed. It's whoever has the faith to get the healing. Faith is the key. Faith is the key to healing. But let me show you another key. This came to me a few days ago. It's in James also, James chapter 1. And it applies to healing. It applies to healing. And this James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you, everybody there, St. James, chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom. Let's keep our picture here. Here's point A, you're here. The person that's sick is here. And here's the healing here. Could be a long way off. You could feel like it's way off somewhere. Or you could feel like it's real close. But whether it is or it isn't, healing is available. Okay? It's available to get to. You can get to healing. You can be healed. Let's just make that a fact. You can be completely healed. There is nobody that God would want sick. Let's establish that. He wants you healed. So he says here in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, I know I want to get healed, God, but how do I get my healing? I must be lacking something. If I'm not getting my healing manifested, something is wrong. So I'm over here and I see my healing here. How do I get my healing? The Word of God says if you lack wisdom, and we do lack wisdom. I mean, believe me, I know I'm the most sometimes lacking in wisdom. When I first got this little girl 3 weeks ago, and I thought, I got to potty train this kid. It's been 30 years since I've had a baby. I'm going to potty train this kid, but I mean, Lord, I need wisdom here. How do I get into her brain? How do I get her to communicate? How do I communicate that she's been wearing a diaper for 2.5 years? No one's even tried to show her a potty. And she now is in a diaper. And now she having to think about, she's just used to letting it go. She don't even think about it. She just enjoys her little world and lets it rip, you know, just lets her go. And then everybody else got to deal with the mess, right? That's a kid. That's the way babies think. But how am I going to get into her mind that she can't do that anymore? That's over. That's over. No more. There's coming a day now. New day is for you, child. No more. You're just going to let her rip. No, let her go. You're going to do something now. You're going to have to start feeling the urge and recognizing there's an urge coming. And now you're going to have to think about, oh, I go to the potty and I don't just let it go. Now I do this. So I said, well, how do I get into this child's mind to make her think about this? How do I get in there? Lord, I'm just lacking wisdom here. How do you do this? How do you potty train? See, there's training involved in getting her to think differently. Getting her to think about it at all was a big, big part of it. Just consistently telling her, talking to her. I spent like 5 days of my life just in the bathroom. Practically. Every time I thought she had an urge, you know, feed her, watch her, take her to the potty, put her, we had a big ritual, threw away the diapers. I mean, we, delivered today from diapers. This is your big day. Bought her a whole bunch of panties. Now you're in big girl panties and you're going to be a big girl. And I just went on and on and on and on. Took a lot of energy, believe me. But I had to really get her thinking in a whole different way about this potty thing. Because she never did this before. This is all new to her. See, walking in healing is a whole new experience for all. I know this kind of maybe is not a very good parallel, but it is in a way, because we all are so used to just running to the doctor, or taking a pill, or, you know, it's just the way we've always done it. We just don't worry about walking in healing or walking in a whole new way of thinking, a new way of life. And it really is a new way of life. I'll never forget the transition. I made the transition of walking in divine healing opposed to trying to get healed or trying to find a way to get healed, and through whether medical means or other means. But how to walk in healing is a huge difference. So when you're finally delivered from sickness and disease, because you now know how to pray the prayer of faith 100% of the time, and there is a way to get there. There is a way to walk in divine healing. The God's greatest desire for his children is to walk in health. Walk in divine health all the time. Because divine health has been provided for you and I under the great atonement. The great atonement. There has been a great atonement provided for the body of Christ. Jesus didn't halfway deliver us. Jesus didn't halfway save us. He didn't just save your spirit. He saved your mind. He saved your soul. He saved your emotions. He saved your body. He saved every aspect of the human life. He saved you all completely. He did a complete work at Calvary. He didn't just halfway finish the job and left a bunch of stuff undone. There is completeness and wholeness and soundness of mind. You don't lack anything. You don't miss anything. Oh, glory to God. We're going to go to John 10:10 in a minute. But I'm going to share this with you here about this wisdom thing. this wisdom thing. Not only did I lack wisdom in how to get this over to Caitlin, but Caitlin lacked any wisdom. Caitlin lacked everything about this. Caitlin had no knowledge what was coming up. She had no idea her world was going to be turned upside down. She had no idea. She just really didn't. She just being a happy little kid that lets her go. But now she's somebody else has been doing all the potty duty. Somebody's been cleaning up the mess every day, every day. Somebody else has done it for her. But now there's something she has to do. There's something she has to think about this. And now she's got some understanding and she's got some knowledge and she's starting to think. And she starts coming to me now when she feels the urge. Because she's finally, it's dawned on her that there is something she has to do. Okay? And she is making those steps. She peed for the second time in her potty this morning. She peed yesterday, peed this morning. This is just a major thing for me because I've been really working on this. And she's been working. It's been hard on her too, believe me. She spent most of the last few days in the bathroom, off and on the potty. We've been talking about this. It's been like a very serious conversation, on and on and on. So, but she's really starting to click. It's starting to hit her. Oh, this is what I do. This is what I feel. This is what my body says. This is what happens. And so she's responding to what is, you know, physical. But going back, and it takes time even for the body to be able to connect there in that brain. If any of you lack wisdom, any of you lack wisdom in the area of healing, let's put healing in here. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let's move on and read verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Here's that faith thing again. Oh my goodness. I got to walk in faith for everything. You mean I got to believe, I had to have faith for everything, even wisdom? Yes, you do. In the things of God, that's the only way you get it, is through faith. That's the only way it comes, is through faith. If any man, first of all, shows you the need, here's the need, you need wisdom. And then he shows you, here is the supply. Here's the lack, but here's the supply. It's God. God gives wisdom, and he gives it to you liberally. So if you're over here, and you need wisdom, I don't care what it is you need from God. If you see the need and you recognize, hey, I have a need, and you see God with the supply liberally, then you figure out, how do you get it from here to here? How do I get to this point where I got all I need of wisdom? And he says, you got to ask in faith. It's got to be done in faith. It can't be done, well, I hope God will help me. I hope God, you know, I'm crying hard enough. I'm upset enough. I'm angry enough. I'm screaming enough. I've torn the place apart. You see, you're looking at somebody who's tried everything to get God to move for me in every way. I mean, I've ransacked houses. I've torn up stuff. I've taken fits. I've done my little temper tantrum thing like a 5-year-old. I've done it all. And nothing I've done, cried so many tears and cried and begged and squalled and bawled. They don't move God either. Let me tell you, you're looking at somebody who's tried to move God and make God move for me in every way that I could make him move. And he always brings me back to this. He always says, look, Teresa, look, you want something from me, you're going to have to do it the way I said it's done. It's done by faith. So you're going to have to decide, just like this baby had to decide, she's going to use that potty until she decides that she's going to use that potty, she will continue to let her run, let her go. But she decides, she has to be the one. It's her decision. I can take her, I can lead her, I can help her, I can explain it to her, but she's got to decide to do this. And so until I decided, okay, I'm going to stop right here, God, and I'm going to do it your way, because it's going to take faith to get the job done. Now let me show you the rest of this verse. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I mean, nothing wavering. And what that's talking about is typical of faith. It's typical of all believers when they start stepping into what we call faith to get what we want from God. It's typical to waver because it's a whole new way of life. This child's going to have accidents. I don't know why God's let me use this as an analogy, but it's a kind of a good one. She's going to have accidents along the way. She wants to do it. She's decided she wants to do this big girl thing now. But as she goes to the potty, she waits too late. She's busy thinking about something else. And it's like she's distracted. And she thinks, oh, well, just let her go. It's too much trouble. Well, you know, Faith is something that is going to have to be worked for. You have to work to get faith in here. Faith is not in your head either. Faith is not hope. Faith is faith. Faith is not hope. It's faith. And when you ever finally get what it is you have faith for, you know you got it. You got it. Still ain't trying to get it. You got it. You really have it. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Just guaranteed. It's guaranteed. But let him ask in faith, nothing waver, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Lord, I ask you, God, to pay this electric bill. God, you know I got this electric bill and I got this car payment. And Lord, you know I got this money and I got that money coming in, but it's not enough. And I'm asking you, God, to make a way. And oh, God, just make a way. And I'm just believing, God, that you're going to make a way for this money. And I'm just asking you, God, pay this bill. Send somebody. Help me, God. Help me, God. Oh, help me, God. Okay, and then you get up from your prayer. You might have prayed an hour. You might have cried. You might have begged. You might have pleaded. You might have done whatever in that time of prayer for that situation. You're praying whatever it is, whether it's a husband, whether it's a family member. Oh, God, move and move and move. Oh, God, you see how hard it's hurting, how bad it feels, and how mean they are, and oh, whatever. Seriously, I've been through it all. And I mean, you get up. That felt good because, you know, you got that off your chest, and you feel a little better because you talked to God. You spent time with God. It's always good to do that. But then, here's the test. The test is, did you pray in faith? If you prayed in faith, you're not going to go around talking against what you believe in for. You're not going to get on the phone and say, you know, I really don't have enough money. You're not going to talk that poverty stuff. You're not going to talk that lack stuff. You're not going to talk that fear stuff. You're just not going to talk it. Because faith doesn't, it's like having a double tongue. It's like having two mindsets. Your mind toward God is one thing, but then you come over here and gripe and complain to other people, and it's like, here's this relationship with God, but you just blew holes clear through it with people, talking about it to people, complaining, griping, talking negative about what you believe in God for. You have just wavered. You have just wavered, and you're like a wave of a ship that's on a sea. It's driven. Here comes the problem. Oh, I'm going to have to give in and just bail out now and forget this faith thing. And you're driven over here. You're driven over here. And you are not stable in what you're believing God for. Your faith is not there. You just haven't developed that place yet of faith. So it talks about how that we can, to be driven, is you just ain't doing it yet. You just ain't got there yet. Because verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive any thing of the Lord. Now, does anything include healing? Anything is anything. Anything is anything. I don't care what it is. It's anything. If you really want to heal it, if you really want to be healed, and you want to walk in divine healing, oh my goodness, that's the greatest thing. That's where you really want to plan to live. Live in divine healing. Live in divine health. Live in that place where God has provided for you under the new covenant. That is a place of life. That is where you live. You're eating of the tree of life. You're living in divine health. And so, don't let that man think. Don't let him think. A lot of people are thinking they're doing it right, and they're not doing it right because they're not thinking right. Don't let them think they're going to be healed if they're wavering with their mouth. Don't let them think that they're going to be able to confess any old thing they want to the man and believe and get the results that they need from God. Do you understand? There is a huge connection to your mouth and your faith. Because if you believe it, you'll say it. And you'll never, ever waver from what you're believing. You will keep on track and you'll get that job done. You'll get the job done. You'll get tenacious about your healing. You'll get tenacious about what you're doing. And you'll put legs to your prayers. You'll put words to your prayers. You'll put legs to your prayers. I'm telling y'all the truth here. I'm telling you the truth. I know from experience, my own life, living it out, walking it out, healing is mine. It belongs to me 100%. I don't have to ever be sick again a day in my life. I'm telling you, stand up in the morning and say, I'll never, just say a decree. I will never be sick another day in my life. Get to the place where you can say that. I'll never have to take another pill. I'll never have to take any more medication. I'll never have to be sick another day in my life. But I'll guarantee you, if you're saying it out of your mind, you're not walking in faith. Because you can't think this out. You can't think this out. You got to believe this out. You got to walk this out in faith. This is a way of life. Walking in faith. And I'll tell you what, your flesh will tell you it's not going to work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Your mind will tell you it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Pain hits you. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Fear will grip you. But see, your faith is going to have to get to the point that you're like this in James. Any of you, oh, but that's just so crazy. Well, yeah, it is to the world. Yeah, the Bible says this. It's a foolishness of that he said. He says that it's foolishness. It's foolishness to them that are lost. The things of God. It's foolishness. So, but for this verse right here just needs to be really highlighted. For let not that man, who's the man he's talking about? He's talking the man who lacks wisdom. He's the man who needs a healing. He's the man who needs understanding how to get what he needs to get. Let that man, let not the man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when I went to God for wisdom how to deal with Caitlin, I went with a heart full of total expectancy. I'm going to get wisdom here, and I'm going to have an absolute knowing how to deal with this baby. And God showed me what to do. The Holy Spirit began to talk to me. He began to give me insight. I began to look into other issues, and God began to speak to me about how her little, it's got to get into her. It's got to be her decision. I mean, I'd like to make her do it, but I can't, you know? Who wouldn't like to just yank them up and throw them on the pot and make them do it? Sit there all day. I can't do that. It has to be her decision. And we use reward, and God showed me how to make it happy and make it relaxed and fun, and, you know, how to get something triggered in there. And that's how I believe, honestly, how we walk in health is how we do that. But understand one thing in the old covenant, God is the God that healeth. Man doesn't heal. People don't heal. You can't heal. God is the healer. Now let's go to St. John. I wanted to go to St. John 10:10. St. John 10:10. This is a word on healing today. And the Lord knows all I can do to be a voice is to speak out of my spirit what I know is truth. And I honestly don't ever feel, I just don't feel like I'm the authority to be able to do this. God, who am I to talk on healing? Well, he said, because you know how to walk in healing. No. Yeah? I guess because I know how to do this. No. I think every believer should walk carefree, pain-free, whole, healthy, healed, delivered. And I just think it's just a way of life. I think it's just the way we just should live. I believe we should be free of anything that's not of God. Let me put it that way. If it's not from God, I don't have to have it. If God doesn't want me to have that, then I don't have to have it. I have to find out first the will of God for my life. And before I can absolutely walk in what God has provided for me, I have to know what has he provided for me. What is the will of God for me? What is his plan for me? Is his plan for me to be depressed? Well, if it is, then okay, I'll walk around depressed. But if it's his plan for me to be free of depression, free of oppression, then it's my heart's desire to stay free of oppression. You see, if it's been provided for me, why wouldn't I walk in it? Who does the devil think he is to make me depressed? Who does the devil think he is to make me mad? Who does the devil think he is to keep me down and out and under? Who does he think he is to throw me under the bus? I'm a child of the living God. I can walk in everything he called me to walk in. I know the will of God concerning things. And if you know the will of God too, you can take authority over those things and walk in them. Enjoy the benefits of your salvation. Enjoy the benefits of what he's provided. Enjoy God. Enjoy being a child of God. Enjoy being free of the devil. Glory. Hallelujah. St. John 10:10. Jesus said these words. He said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Let's just stop and think about this. This really is not a genius level thought. If it's come to kill you, if it's come to depress you, if it's come to make you upset, if it's come, a thought has come to you or a situation or a person or whatever it is disturbing your peace, then it is not from God. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. He's not. God doesn't think evil. I can show you in Habakkuk, he has the pure eyes to even behold iniquity. He doesn't think evil. He doesn't plan evil. He doesn't have any evil for his children. Now, the Bible says, though, that he's angry with the wicked every day. That's a different thing. But I'm talking about a child of the living God. God is angry with the wicked every day. And I don't want God angry with me. So I try to stay totally in harmony with his will and his word. But Jesus said this, there's two forces in the universe. There is the thief, and he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God gets blamed for all kinds of stuff he's not even involved in. Because God doesn't kill, God doesn't steal, and God doesn't destroy. Jesus makes this really clear right here. He said, the devil comes, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Let me just say this. Is something stealing your money? It ain't God. Is something stealing your health? It ain't God. Is something stealing your time and energy? It ain't God. Is something stealing from you? Anything. Stolen means stolen. Without right. They have no right to take that. It doesn't belong to them. A thief takes something that does not belong to them, don't they? That's a thief. Something that is stolen from you, belong to you, it belongs to you, right? Before it can be stolen, it has to be yours first, and something has come along and taken it unlawfully. That's the word I was looking for. It's an unlawful act. It's something that's not lawful. If somebody has stolen something from you, that's an unlawful act against you personally. Your health belongs to you. My body is my body. And I have a right to walk in health because Jesus provided that for me. And if something is coming to steal my health, it's a thief. And it's trying, and it's stealing it unlawfully. It's an unlawful entry. It's an unlawful act against me personally. I take that personal. I take this very personal. I suffered for years with sinus infection. Years. I mean every pollen season, every fall, every spring. I mean, it seemed like I didn't even need a reason. Clean the house and I got sinus. And one day, and it stole my effectiveness and my business and my work. I felt terrible. I was sick. I was on medicine. I took medicine against it. Sinus Advil. Thank you, Jesus. I've swallowed enough sinus Advil. I decided one day, no more. No more, no more, no more. And it was around probably 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, I put my foot down and I said, you're not stealing another night of my sleep. I'd wake up in the morning, couldn't even sleep. Wake me up all through the night. I said, you're not taking one more night of my sleep. I've been free. Since that night, I've never had another bout of sinus infection. Never again. That is a miracle. That is not just a miracle. That is my healing. That's my right. That's my right. That was mine anyway. That was already belonged to me anyway, and I was being stolen from. See, you got to start thinking right. Just like these babies got to think right. We got to start thinking right. We got to start thinking in line with the Word of God and think like God thinks. You know, he said, pray this manner, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not the will of God for us to be sick. So we don't want things to be stolen unlawfully from us. So we have to know what our rights are before we can stop it. A lot of people suffer with migraines. And that's a thief. Seizures are a thief. It's robbing your health. It's an unlawful something taken from you, your health. Your health is wonderful. To walk in health is wonderful. Right. To walk in peace of mind is wonderful. And that's what he's provided. Now, let me show you what else he says here. Do you see the word I right there in that verse? I. Jesus is talking about himself. He says, I. Let this I be the biggest I in your life instead of you. You see, I believe with all my heart that most believers do not walk in what God has provided because they're still thinking about themselves too much. They don't see Jesus. Jesus should be in the center of everything. If Jesus is an I in your life, I am come. I am come. Thank you, Lord. You've come. Case it, everything's settled here. This settles it for me. I'm come. If he's come into your life, he's come to take care of everything. Because look what he says. I'm come. That they, or me, talking to me here, have life and have it more abundantly. He's making an extreme statement here. This is pretty extreme. This is extreme to me. I've come. Okay? Has he come in your life? Is he your Savior? Is he redeemed you by the blood of the... Have you been redeemed and been purchased by the blood of the Lamb? Are you his? Yes? Then that means he's come to give you everything he promised in the new covenant. And that means abundant living. An abundant way of life. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Peace, joy, love. Oh, I mean, oh my goodness, the fruit of the Spirit is wonderful. But he says, I'm come. And so here's the big I. Now, which I is the center of your universe? Your I or his I? Is it your I? Am I the one in control here? Am I the one that's got to be glorified and magnified? Or is he going to be glorified and magnified? You see, every time I ever got a healing, or ever walked out a healing, or ever manifested a healing, or manifested anything for that matter, he was the eye in the middle of it. He was the one who did it. I didn't do anything. I couldn't heal a flea. I can heal a fly. Jesus is the healer. Jesus lives in me. I am come. He's in me. He's on board here. So I have abundant life on board. I have total abundance. I mean, when you know the word here means, abundance means having more than you know what to do with. That's the definition of abundance. Having more than you could possibly even use. That's abundance. And he says, I. Here's the I. Let's go back to this illustration. Here we are, and here's where we want to get in the kingdom. We want to walk in all that he's provided, right? Abundant living, abundant life. The I has got to be first in your life. He says, seek you first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. For all the Gentiles seek for food and clothes and you know how to have money and all this stuff. He said, but that's a problem. That's a problem because they're still the I. They're still number one. But if you make me the I, I'm come. I'm come to give you life and give you to you more abundantly. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing broken. I want to go back to James. I just wanted to go there because you have to see the will of God is for you to have abundant life. James. Chapter 1. Let's go back to chapter 1. Look at verse 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. James chapter 20, verse chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, just get rid of your nasty, stinking self. Get rid of you. Get rid of your eye. And then he says, lay it apart. Lay it aside. Get rid of all filthiness. Superfluity of naughtiness. Get rid of that nasty, cussing mouth of yours. You know, there's a lot of unclean things that come out of people. A lot of unclean nastiness. Filthiness. Filthy stuff. Get rid of that. Get rid of anything that offends God at all. Get rid of it. And he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You know, it's almost like trying to put, it's like you've got this, who wants to eat off of a dirty plate? Anybody like dirty, nasty plates? I go to a restaurant, I pick up a plate, I kind of look at plate over. If there's food left on that thing from somebody else's dinner, I put it aside. You send it back to the dishwasher, please. I want a nice, clean plate to put something on. God wants your plate clean so he can write his word in you. If you've got something nasty on you or in you, it's hard to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And if your soul's not saved, the rest of you is not going to be healthy. I can show you in 1 John, or it's 3 John chapter, if well, there's only one chapter in 3 John. And it says, I would that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospered. Soul prosperity is truly a part of your healing, living in divine health. I'm talking about living in divine health today. But he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. You know, in other words, get the plate clean. Get it nice and clean, because God wants to pile some good stuff in you. He wants to give you the engrafted word. He wants to fill you up with his wisdom, his way of thinking, his way of living. He wants to show you his way. And he wants you to walk in divine health. He don't want you wavering like the wave of the sea driven with the wind. He doesn't want you. He wants you. He said, because you can't receive anything if you're like that. That's the law of wisdom. That's the law of faith. That's how faith works. You've got to believe it. You've got to have faith. Or you'll receive nothing of the Lord. Nothing. Anything. Anything. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Clean up the plate and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Okay, now let's clean up the plate. God's going to start putting some word in you. And it's going to be engrafted word. It's going to be such a part of you. It was never really there before. Do you see, to graft something onto something is like you've got a peach tree and you want to graft some other type of fruit on there. You've got to do something called a grafting process. Can be painful, I'm sure, for the tree if it has feelings. You know, grafting anything on is not pleasant, I wouldn't think. You've had skin grafts even. You know, it's something that's not supposed to be there, but it's there and it's permanently there. You see, to get an engrafted word means it's going to be there forever. It was never intended just to stick for a while. To be engrafted means it's yours. It's a part of who you are. It is yours forever. God wants to give you a word that will be so engrafted in you that it will be second nature to you. It's like your nature now. His word will be your word. His way of thinking will be your way of thinking. His faith will be your faith. Your way of looking at something will be his way of looking at something. He wants to make you like him so much that when people see you, they see Jesus in action in the earth. The engrafted word works like that. It just does. It's supposed to, because it's engrafted in you. But you got to clean the plate up before you can put something on there. And then he says, and he gives you the reason why. Because most of us do not want the engrafted word really engrafted. I mean, we want to hear the word. We want to feel good. We want God to fix us. And a lot of us are just out for a Band-Aid or a quick fix. You know, like give me a pill or give me a drug or give me something that'll take care of this problem. And we just want God to fix our problem. We want it quick and we want it instant. We don't want to live it out and be a part of what God is involved in. Being engrafted means you are connected completely. That's yours. But here's the key. For if any, verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. This will separate the ones who just got the word when it's comfortable, when they need a fix, than the ones who really are walking it out. This is the difference. This is truly the difference. Because they're the ones who are hearing the word, and they're not just hearers only, but they're doers of the work. They literally are doing what Jesus would do if he was in their body. If you had Jesus on board, how would Jesus act? How would Jesus talk? If Jesus was here in the flesh, would Jesus be running to the doctor? I don't think so. Would Jesus be taking a pill? I don't think so. You see, the engrafted world makes you more like him than anything else. It takes the engrafted word to get to this revelation. And I'm not knocking anybody who's taking pills or doctors or any of that, because I did that too. But I wanted more. I wanted the engrafted word. I wanted it to save my soul. And it takes being a hearer and a doer of the work. Now, I know that sounds extreme to people. And I couldn't go down here to some of the denominational churches and preach this message. No. They would sit there when they would look at me like, is she out of a sane asylum or something? Did somebody just turn her loose from the monkey house or what? Wouldn't they not look at me like that? Like, are you serious? I'm extremely serious. I'm extremely serious about this because it's the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
But it's not easy to be a doer of the Word of God. No. It's not easy to be a doer of the work.
No.
To be a doer of the work means you cannot stop being a doer.
Yeah.
There's never a day to jump bus or jump ship. There's just not a day that I can say, okay, I'm tired of serving God today. I think I'll do my own thing today. And I'll think about God on Sunday. You just don't live like that when you want to walk in divine health. When you want to walk in the things that God has provided, you just don't live like that. We're a doer of the work. We're a doer of the word. We hear the word and we begin to do the word. We let it sink deep into us. It becomes a part of us. And that's what God is raising up a body of believers to do in the earth. That's why the devil hates us so bad. Because he don't want nobody believing the word of God. Be nice little religious people, but don't be out here actually doing the work of God. Don't actually be living out healing. Don't actually be walking in faith in anything, for that matter. Let's just hit and miss once in a while. Maybe God will have mercy. God does have mercy, and I'm so glad he does. And let me, this is the rest of it. This is the rest of the picture he's giving us. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. So we got the word, the person that hears the word, and then they go out and just forget that. I'm not going to do that. He's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He knows what he looks like. He knows what the word says. This is what you're supposed to look like. You're supposed to look like, you're supposed to be so full of power and faith, and you're supposed to have on an armor, and you're supposed to have to carry a sword. And oh my goodness, I used to look at this word and I'd say, wow, I want to look like that, God. I want to walk like this, and I want to act like this, and I want power. And I want all that, and I really want all that. I really remember really wanting all that, but it takes it's a price to pay to get that. There's a price to pay to walk in health. There's a price to pay to walk in victory of the mind, and I said it didn't come overnight. It doesn't come overnight, but the way it does come is being a doer of the word. Doer. Continually do. Continually. Not just do it once. But be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. For if any, verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. A doer of the work. And I mean a continual doer of the work. And it's work. Let me tell you what. To work out the word is work. To work the word. Because your flesh isn't going to be in agreement with any of this. Mark this down. The flesh will always take the easy way. Always. It's going to be a determined heart that walks like this. I'm determined. I was determined. I said, God, I'm determined. I'm determined. You know, and honestly, when I found out what God did for me, when I found out, and I really found out, I mean, I really had a revelation of what Jesus did for me. I really had a heart clear picture of the horrible atrocity that was done to my Savior. I can't hardly stand to think about it. But when I looked at that and I said, my question was, why? Why did God do that? Why was he beaten to suffer? Why did he suffer? Why? 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 Did anybody ever take a look at this and say, why? Why did Jesus? Why? I mean, you just have to sit and say, why? And then he'll answer you why. He'll answer you why. And it'll be John 10:10. I am come. This is why I came. I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. And when that revelation came to me, that was why. It was for me. Then my answer back to him was this, from my heart. I don't know how to do this, God. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to walk in health. I don't know how to walk in healing. I don't know how to walk in all the provision of God. I don't know how to do anything. I'm glad Jesus found me. He changed my whole entire life. But my heart looked at that. I said, why? Why did you do that? And he totally gave me a complete realization of why he did it. That, and I said, God, you did that for me. You did that for me. And I said, I'm going to serve you with every ounce of being I can. I want to be a doer of your word. And I want that word to do in me. It's like the relationship is I do and he does. I do and he does. I'm a doer of the word by faith. And I know he does. I said, Lord, I want to do the word. So what I answered back to him was this. This was my heart. I said, Lord, I make you this promise. I don't know how I'm going to walk in this. And I don't know how I'm going to walk in all that you've provided. But I will do my very best to let what you did be for nothing. Yes. I'm not going to let it be for nothing. I want to be offered for me. I want to take full advantage. I mean, in other words, what a gift. A gift has been given to the body of Christ for us to treat it so lightly, to treat it as though it was just a light gesture. This was not a light gesture on his part. Providing healing for you cost him something big. To provide healing for me cost him. It cost him dearly. And he willingly suffered the way he suffered so that I could enjoy this blessing called healing. And a blessing called deliverance. The blessing called a sound mind. The blessing called peace. The blessing called joy. I mean, whatever it is I lack, he's got it for me. That's why he did what he did. Why not take advantage and then bless him? It blesses him. Because he then says, there's one that's not letting it be wasted. That time on that beating post, the time on the cross was has to make him so happy with me. It has to make him happy with anybody that says that, and he sees they're taking advantage of what I've, they're taking full advantage of my healing that I've provided. Step out by faith, even if it's a baby step of faith. Step toward, any step from here to here is huge to God, huge. Isaiah 53, verse 1. This is under the old covenant. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's believed the report? Who's believed the report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In another translation, it's actually translated, he has borne our sicknesses and diseases. And then he goes on, verse 5, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. You see, that was all prophesied before it actually happened. And Jesus knew that he was the one to fulfill that prophetic word. And he did that. He did that when they beat him, those 39 stripes. He fulfilled this promise. But it's going back to the question, who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe that report? And then go with me to St. John chapter 12. In the New Testament, that's Old Testament. Let's go to St. John chapter 12, verse 38. St. John 12, 38. Actually, verse 37, 38. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. See, there's that. Who's going to believe the report? Who's going to believe the report? He did miracles. He did so many miracles among them. I mean, we're talking blinded eyes. There had never been a blinded eye healed until Jesus showed up. Did you know that? In the history of the human race, never had there ever been a blinded eye opened. That was one miracle, you know, that never happened until Jesus. He opened the blind. And he says, these things... No, but I'm sorry, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which we just read, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, this is the point. This is the question I want to ask. You cannot, as a believer, say healing's not been revealed to you. You just can't say that. I don't know about healing. I don't know about all that. Well, you can know about it. It's been revealed. Healing is provided in the atonement. Healing is a provision. And it's too much to ignore. It's too much to overlook. And really, so it's not like you don't know it. It's there. It's revealed. Who's the Lord? Who has this report been revealed to? The arm of the Lord has to do with his strength. The arm of the Lord has to do with his authority, his power. The arm. He said, bind my teach your hands to war, that bind mine arm. A bow of steel is broken by mine arm. You know, the arm, the strongness of God. There's nothing too big for God. So if it's been revealed to you, then you are responsible for what you know. That's the other thing that God showed me about healing. That I'm really without excuse if I don't walk in healing. Matthew 10:8. I'm going to get ready here and close. Matthew 10:8. It's been a little bit of a different message, hasn't it? Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Luke 5:15. And so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And that hear part is very key, because they had to hear the word on healing. That's why it's so important to preach on healing and study healing. And you have to hear healing taught properly to be able to receive it properly. If you don't hear a message on healing, if that arm of the Lord has not been revealed to you, that it's 100% his will for you to be healed, it's going to be a little hard for you to hear, and be healed. Yes. You see, they came to hear and to be healed. The healing didn't come first. The hearing came first, and then the healing manifested because they heard the word. You see, we're gotten by the word. The word is what heals you. The word, you believing the word, receiving the engrafted word, is what saves your soul. Your spirit's already saved, but your soul's connected to your flesh. So you've heard a word today on healing. And a healing word will bring healing to the hearer. They came to hear and to be healed. And then Romans 10:17. And see, I have to continually hear the word on healing. I continually feed my spirit healing word. Healing word. I stay in healing word. Because I want to stay in healing mode. Walking in healing mode. That I'm a hearer and I'm a doer. I'm a doer and I'm a hearer. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Now, remember we started the message this morning talking about any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let that man don't think that, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, right? Ask in faith. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he shall rethink he shall receive anything of the Lord. I got to say this, and I'm going to get ready to close here. We can start thinking stuff outside of the word. If we're thinking outside of the word, we're thinking God has to do something, and we are thinking our thinking, and then when God doesn't show up and do what we're thinking he should do, then we bail out and get angry at God. But the word says it works 100% of the time. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So it means that if you do think right and you do have faith, you will receive of the Lord. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is a key. Any sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Praying over him, anointing with oil. But it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. It's faith that does it. Your faith will keep you healed. Your faith will keep you delivered of all kinds of stuff. You got to get over in the word. Receive the word to get that faith moving and working in your life. Father, I just close this word today, and I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the revelation. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the ability, Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace to heal that is available, provided, in the great atonement. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Give us a heart, God, to not let it be for nothing. Let us go after it with all our heart. Let us go after it for ourselves. Let us just absolutely go after all we can get from you, God, what has been provided, the abundant life provision. Thank you, God. Help us be obedient children after all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen.